Hello, I'm Jackie Rodriguez, and this is the Friends with Friends podcast, the one where we explore all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends one at a time. I am the biggest Friends fan, and I have my friend Vanessa.
Yes, I'm Vanessa Martinez, and I'm the newbie to the group. Jason's not here with us, but Jackie and I are going to be holding down the fort for today.
Hold down the fort, and Jason, yes, he's our other friend who is the one who actually lived it and became, or during the Friends was airing, so he gives that perspective. But I mean, as you should know if you listen, but yeah, Vanessa.
Yes. So we are on the 56th episode, the one with the giant poking device. Season 3, episode 8, premiered November 14th, 1996, with 28.7 million viewers. Jackie, give us a plot overview.
Yes, so this is the second episode that I said that is very Janice and Chandler-centric. So we ended the last episode with Joey seeing Janice kissing her ex-husband, the Mattress King. And so we pick up right from there. He tells Chandler and they decide to break up. Rachel and Monica babysit Ben, and Phoebe reluctantly visits the dentist because she is afraid somebody is going to die every time she goes.
That's pretty funny, Phoebe's whole scenario. I mean, I don't like going to the dentist just because it's a dentist.
Yeah.
But just, I don't know. She's Phoebe.
She's Phoebe. I mean, I have a confession. I haven't been to the dentist in so long.
I hope your parents aren't listening to this.
I know. It's been so long. And I hate it because I've been traumatized. Because when I was a kid, I got so many fillings and cavities that it just like that drilling noise. It traumatized me so much. And I just remember laying in there and my mom holding my hand and seeing they had TVs on the ceiling. You know, it was a children's dentist place. And I just, it's in like, ugh, it brings me back to that. So I haven't been in a while and I should really go. So
I get it. Yeah. I had a bad experience with the last dentist that we don't go there anymore. She was just horrible. She was really rude to her staff as well. And we were just over it. Yeah. I've only had one very good dentist, like very gentle. He was very nice. I'll eventually go back to him.
Well, at least people don't die like Phoebe says, like when you go.
Poor Phoebe. I mean, but good thing nobody died.
Nobody died. But the episode is the one with the giant poking device because they think that ugly naked guy died across the way because he wasn't moving. And I thought that was funny. And that was cute, the way that they gathered all of the chopsticks and poked him across the way. And then they showed the big belly. They never show his face, but they show the big belly and then hitting it. And I thought that was hilarious.
But why chopsticks, you know, out of all the things that they could do? And then number two, we obviously see a close-up of the stomach, and he's clearly breathing. I mean, they could have told him to, like, hold his breath for 30 seconds while they get that close-up shot, because him breathing totally gave it away.
I know.
That he was okay, I guess. But, yeah. I mean, we do find out that he was okay.
Yeah, he was okay. And it's so random that they chose, like, the ugly naked guy to kind of break Phoebe's curse, you know. So and I liked the little throwback to the Frankenstein. He's alive, like the way that Phoebe said that line. I liked that little throwback to that iconic line.
Yeah, but one of the biggest things in this is Chandler finds out about Janice cheating.
I know. After
Joey breaks the news to him, because Chandler's thinking of buying her pearls. And Joey says, not so fast. She doesn't deserve them.
Yeah. And it's hard because, you know, at first Joey and Janice didn't get, well, they still don't get along, like, but at least like they reached amends where he can be around her for a whole day. We saw that happen earlier. And so taking that and hearing that from your friend, you're like, well, you don't like her anyways. You want us to break up. But then he's really sincere about it. And I think Joey does this in a loving way. He doesn't want to do it, but he knows he has to, because it's, you know, you can't keep that secret from your best friend that you live with, you know, and it's sad. It's sad. I mean, he's so happy until he's not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm kind of happy that Joey told Chandler, you know, he gave him the advice, you know, hey, you know, she's coming out of divorce and she has a kid. It's not the same as if, you know, it was just another guy.
Yeah,
she has a foundation with him.
Exactly, you know? And how Chandler brings back to his own experience growing up, you know, like when he is breaking up with her, he's saying to Janice, you know, I will always look at that guy. Like, that's the guy, that's why we broke up. So I like that they use that and they weave that his own backstory into it, that he doesn't want to be that guy. And it's very mature. Like, Chandler grew up a lot in this episode because of the way he brought it back to his own experience, and he did the right thing.
Yeah, and I've never seen, I don't feel like I've seen that serious side of Chandler when he's talking to Janice, telling her, hey, look, you need to go back to him.
Yeah.
His Chandlerness comes out a little bit when he says, I'm just joking, don't, you know? But it's very serious, very like, you know what? No, you need to go back to him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very grown up of him and very mature of him. And I like that development of him in this episode. And he's just a good guy. He is. I like Chandler a lot. He's just a good guy trying to do the right thing. So,
yeah, good. I thought it was funny when he confronted Janice about it, and she was hyperventilating, so he gave her a little brown paper bag.
Yeah.
And she was just breathing in it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you could tell her like it was breaking her heart too, having to let Chandler go because she liked what she had with him, but she couldn't keep doing what she was doing.
And again, you see here they're confronting a serious subject and they make it funny with the paper bag.
Yes, and the receipt inside. Yes. She's handing him the receipt.
The 12-pack of condoms.
Yes.
Serves me right for buying a 12-pack of condoms.
Yeah, so I mean, it's sad, but life goes on. And I was reading that this is the last time we see them break up. In all of
I mean, the sincere,
like, official breakup, yeah,
like a sincere breakup. Like, you'll see some more of her. Yes, you are right. I had to think about that for a little bit because we do see more of her throughout the series, but an official breakup. Yes, this is the last time, and it's sweet and sincere and thoughtful, and I like that they ended it in this way because. What else could they have broken up already? They've already broken up because of how annoying she is. So they had to do like a real serious one at this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, oh well.
Life goes on and they sing a Lionel Richie song, Endless Love.
Yes, that was so funny. And I totally recognize that song. And I just, I mean, this is where Jason needs to come in because we would ask him how big was Lionel Richie. Yes. Jason can answer it eventually.
I know. I think Lionel Richie was a big crooner, like love songs and that like kind of love baby making music, you know?
Yeah. And it was funny, like in the end scene where Chandler's singing the song holding Janice's shoe.
Yeah.
And the record of like, was it Lionel Richie?
Yeah, it was that song.
And then and then Phoebe joins him in singing. But they keep having to sing that same line over and over because they can't get the right note.
Love. They're trying to nail the note. And nobody can, unlike Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
No, but poor Chandler. But he'll be okay. But I will see him go through it with the next couple episodes as well. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back to talk about Monica Bang. How Ben bumps his head on the random pillar in the apartment.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we are back. And in this episode, we finally see the pillar. And I referenced this before. It's like, oh, that has something to do later. And then this is that something.
Yes, Monica Bang.
Monica Bang.
But here's my thing. In a previous episode, I questioned that structure and why it was there because it looks really out of place.
Yes, yes.
So I kind of wonder, you know, why was that there?
Yeah. And maybe this is like one of the writer's inside jokes because it is maybe other people wondered that at that time and it is random. And then they make a joke out of it and where Ben bangs his head, you know, Monica bangs Ben's head on it. So maybe,
yeah. Okay. Because I also noticed it's not in every episode.
It's not. It's not. It's just random.
So like why Monica bang
I don't
there?
Know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I, you know, and this is the thing too, like, we're in Ross and Rachel's relationship. They are like serious. They love each other. And this is the second time that they address the kid stuff. You know, like when Ben first was held by Rachel like a football, she's all, this is how I hold a football. Well, now this is taking it another step. Can you babysit him and take care of him? And then Ross goes straight to Monica to do it, you know, because Ross has to go into work. And then Monica's like, I'll be here. I'll be here. Don't worry. And Rachel's like, hey, I can do it. And so I like that Monica is the one that bangs Ben's head on the pillar.
Because yeah,
she's a reliable one.
But it's funny that it happened to be his sister because it's like we've babysat. And I mean, I've had, you know, thankfully not huge mishaps, but like little ones where, you know, my niece or nephew hit their head and, you know, you're watching them.
Yes.
And it was an accident. So, yeah. But I think that that's funny. And the way that they try to hide it up too by getting a stuffed animal's raincoat and hat.
I know. It's Joey's rainy day bear. Joey's rainy day bear. Isn't that funny?
Does he snuggle with that
on a rainy day? Maybe. I don't know. It's the first time that we see Joey have a stuffed animal. This like won't be the first. Yeah, this won't be the last time you see Joey with a stuffed animal. It's referenced later on in the series. And Mr. Joey, Mr. Macho Man, and he has a stuffed animal that he sleeps with. I thought that was cute.
Yeah.
Oh. And it was just, they put the hat on him. It's like, oh, are you taking him whaling? You know?
Yeah. I really didn't think that Monica or Rachel was going to tell Ross about Monica Bang.
Yeah. Yeah, and did you see also when Ross confronts Rachel about it? She's like, I didn't. I watched Monica bang Ben's head on there. And then she had to hide because, like, Ross was playing around with Monica saying that, you know, it's like the words just fell out of his head or that.
And he's limping.
Yes. Rachel, Jennifer Aniston, had to tuck her head into Ross's, like, nook right there because I think she was laughing. And she's been known to break during episodes. And so I thought that was funny. It's like she kind of probably had to. And then they take her out of the shot, too, when
she
goes over and goes into the circle of saying, you know, like one foot's moving faster than the other. And he does that circle. Mm-hmm. You know? And so they take her out of the shot. So I wonder if she was, like, really laughing at that point when Ross is trying to convince Monica that something's seriously wrong with him.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you do have a good point. Well, hopefully we can find out soon. So,
yeah.
I don't mean, I just thought the whole Monica Bang thing, it's just a thing of real life. Like, it happens.
It does happen. Yeah. Like,
whether it's your own kid or not.
Yeah. Well, and I've babysat too before, like, my non nieces and nephews and relatives and stuff. And it is scary because they are kids. You have to watch them all the time, like Ross says. But, you know, they do have accents where, like, maybe you're using the restroom or, you know, like you don't hear something and you have to be careful. And so it's a lesson learned for Monica and Rachel as well. But they don't really move on from Rachel's discussion of whether she can handle kids. They kind of just leave it.
Yeah. Do you think Monica was excited to babysit Ben because she wanted kids of her own?
I think she just is. She's the mother of the group. So she's always been maternal. So I think that's something that is given. And of course she's excited because it's her kid. She even says that. She goes like, you know how much I love that kid, you know, and then Ross bangs his head on the pillar.
Oh yeah.
That's how it ends. That's just how the conversation ends. And And again, like, when are we going to see this beam again? We should count how many times we see the beam.
Yeah, I really want to know the backstory to that beam because it's just really a random thing.
Mm-hmm. I tried. Remember the last time we brought it up, I didn't know either. And I still don't know because I've tried Googling, like, what's the backstory? And there's none. It's just random. Maybe, like, if we ever talk to, like, one of the friends again, we can ask them what's with the middle beam.
Yeah, that is just something. Oh, so okay, I found an article right now.
Okay.
It said there was a disappearing beam.
Yes, that's the only thing that's there, that it would be a joke.
Yeah, this is via screenrant.com. In the early episodes of Friends, you may have noticed that there was a large wooden beam above that somewhat separated the kitchen from the living room, but eventually it just disappeared with no explanation. After that, it would suddenly reappear again and then go away just as suddenly as before. But the explanation for that was a simple one. It only reappeared when a certain director by the name of James Brose was directing an episode. This was done more as an inside joke than anything else and is now an Easter egg for Friends fans to see when they spot the beam suddenly.
Oh,
so, oh, I mean, it's just so they just, like, James Brose just decides, I'm going to put in the beam today.
It's not structurally, like, meant to be there. It's just a joke.
Yeah. So, like, they just, like, here we are, our fans, looking at when the beam is appearing. And it's a joke on us saying, let's see if they see the beam today.
I know. It's like Taylor Swift and her Easter eggs.
Yes. And Starbucks.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a large Easter egg.
That's a large thing to put in there and to just be random when James Brose, who we know, you know, is one of the creators and the spearheads of this show and why the show's successful. But, like, that's so random. I feel like Friends, they do so many inside jokes, like the writers and everybody has these inside jokes because they just, like, get a kick out of it themselves because they're shooting so many episodes. They got to, like, do something.
Yeah, but I wonder how they do it because obviously, like, we've seen in the past that certain writers are able to put in their own momentums from the past. Mm-hmm. So do they, you know, you, Jackie, the writer, me being a person working on the show, do I just go up to you and be like, hey, can you sneak this in somehow? Like, how does that work?
Maybe there is a discussion or maybe it's just like
they have a long list of
things
of to incorporate.
Yeah, well, I know from when I went on the Friendsgiving tour, they told us that the writers would watch the rehearsals and watch the show with the audience, and they would be standing off to the side, and if a joke didn't work, they would write something in there, and then they would do it, you know, like, differently, you know, right then and there. So everybody knows everybody in that sense. You know, like, the actors know all of the writers and the writers know all the actors and everything. So I think maybe they all just have a big inside joke kind of library that they, like, pull from, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So, I wonder how many times they have to, like, change jokes.
I know. Same here. I would like to know that too, because did it happen on the daily? Did it happen, you know, like, how often and how long does it take to write an episode? I would really like to speak to a writer of Friends and what's the process like, because every star that we've talked to said it's because of the writing. So, so it would be good to talk to them. We'll have to Google and research and reach out.
Well, guess what, Jackie? One of the writers of the show, Ira Ungerleiter, will be joining us to tell us.
How excited! I have so many questions for him. And, like, this is going to be amazing to get the behind the scenes info from him. That's so cool.
Can't wait.
Yay.
Did you have any favorite lines?
Oh, my favorite line is simple, two words, Monica Bang.
That's pretty funny. It was really clever.
Yeah. And anytime I say, also too, like, sometimes when I say the word Monica in my head, I say bang. And it's because it's just like Monica Bang, you know, Monica Bang.
Yeah. Monica Bang. It goes really well. I didn't really have any favorite lines.
Yeah.
In this episode.
Yeah.
I was just more focused on the beam.
Yeah, the beam. And again, this is a very Chandler evolving episode. So I really liked that bit. That was my favorite part of this episode, is how Chandler kind of grew up, evolved. And, you know, is this the end of Janice? I mean, we know for sure. We know because we know that she's going to come back. But I like how much he evolved in this.
I wonder how she comes back. That's
you. Coming up in the next episode, like Vanessa said, we got a writer, Ira Ungerleiter. He is one of the writers who worked in the first three seasons of the show. So we'll talk to him about the one with all the football.
I can't wait. If you like this episode, subscribe, download, and give us 5 stars and nice comments.
See you next time.
Next time. Bye.